Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle
with plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Hey guys, this is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with Allison.
Hey everyone.
So getting into today's topic, a little bit of a blind topic for me, but we wanted to talk through how crunchy of a mom are you? So it's interesting because even when we were trying to come up with the title for this podcast, right, we didn't quite know if crunchy was the right word because I think crunchy kind of makes you think of the all-in, quote-unquote, granola mom,
yes,
right?
That's supernatural.
Yes, like all-in natural.
I've heard hippie.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And that's not necessarily how I would describe myself, but I couldn't think of anything else that would lend itself to what I'm most aligned to.
Yeah.
But there's lots of different terms floating out there about, like, types of moms. And so there is the crunchy mom, the scrunchy mom, and the silky mom. So today we want to kind of walk through what those different moms are and see if we can, based on the criteria, maybe align ourselves to which one we are.
And we have a bit of a quiz.
Yes. And so I'm going into this episode a little bit blind because Allison's kind of put together this quiz. I haven't seen it. We're going to take it with you. So if you are listening to your in your car to this, please don't take out a piece of paper and write anything down. But we'll definitely post this up for you later. But let's see where we fall on the scale and talk about what that means.
And we might be surprised where we fall. So we'll certainly
for
see.
For sure. I have the most beautiful drink in front of me, guys.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Tell me what this is.
All right. So I've been so excited about this topic, and then I had to pick a drink that I was just as excited about. So I love a good beach cocktail, something that's really fruity, really beautiful.
I literally said this tastes like Jamaica in my mouth. It
is. A little gross, but yes,
it does. In a good way. Yeah. Like, it makes me think of the Caribbean, and Jamaica's my spot.
I love that. I'll take that as a compliment.
Don't be gross, Allison.
So what this is a healthy take on a pineapple rum punch. So a basic rum punch is any kind of rum mixed with juice. And so what I did is tried to make it as natural and low artificial sugar as possible. So it is rum, the juice of an orange, juice of a lime, and then pineapple juice. And my husband was nice enough to get us the crunchy pineapple juice,
which means
he called
full
it
of pulp.
So much pulp.
Love it.
And no added sugar, which is my favorite. And then it's all mixed together in a brandy sifter just because it's a little bit beautiful. And then garnished with an orange, a lime, and a pineapple slice. And it is just my favorite. So cheers to how crunchy of a mom are you?
Cheers. All right, take it away because I don't know what's going on today.
Okay. Well, before we launch in, just a quick disclaimer because this is meant to be fun and non-judgy. And that's the whole premise of the show. You know, Larissa is probably more on the crunchy scale than I am, as we will discover throughout this episode. And there's not an ounce of judgment. There's extremes on either side. We all probably fall somewhere in the middle. But whatever you're doing your best, and that is good enough. We're all good moms. We're all just different moms.
Absolutely.
So to get us started, so there are three different types of moms, as Laura said. We've got our crunchy mom and our silky moms as the two extremes, and then in the middle, scrunchy.
Can we talk real quick about how scrunchies are back?
I'm not okay with that. I can't get on board with scrunchies. I mean, they're useful.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't like it.
But they're back.
So are stirrup pants. I mean, everything from the 90s is back.
All right. I digress.
So a little bit about what each of the moms are. So crunchy is obviously, like we said before, it's like that all-natural mom. They probably are really into maybe cloth diapering or not using disposable products and avoiding toxins. And they're guaranteed to shop in the organic section. And
I'm nodding. All of that.
All in on the health. That's what they are.
All in.
One thing I saw is that they could potentially also be homeschool-based. in the countryside.
Oh, I have so many opinions on that. I don't know if I should say them, but
I didn't get into schooling on this one.
Let's keep going.
We're gonna skate over that one.
Let's table it.
So then a scrunchy mom is probably, you know, they try to make healthy decisions. They're probably, you know, they'll shop organic when appropriate, but they really fall in between silky and crunchy. It's like, it's important, but it's not that important to them.
I'm sorry, but all I can think about is a mom wearing scrunchies.
So that's what a scrunchy mom is. They just wear a lot of scrunchies.
It doesn't feel like that fits here.
It doesn't.
Okay. I'm gonna stop.
She's just going to ruin all of them. So then the last one is a silky mom. And a silky mom is, you know, it's not a convenience mom because that's not really the way that they go. But it's more being organic and natural isn't necessarily their number one priority. So this mom's most likely going to be getting the diapers that are advertised on TV and products that are advertised on TV.
The ones that you apologized to me for getting?
Yes, because I do love my store-bought diapers. You know, but they're not really worried about it. It's just not on their list of priorities. And, you know, that's okay, too. So those are our three moms. We've got our crunchy, our scrunchy, and our silky. Are we good on what the moms are?
Yeah. That makes sense.
All right. So now we get to figure out the type of mom that we are.
Okay, so how do we do this? Like, step me through how we're running this. If someone is listening to this and maybe prepping food in the kitchen or whatever, and they can take the quiz along with us, how do we do this?
Okay.
And how do I take this quiz?
It's a good question. So there are going to be 12 questions.
Okay.
Ranging from, like, diapering to birth and all those types of things. And it's a multiple choice thing. So there is A, B, C, and D.
Okay.
And they go on different scales of crunchiness.
Okay.
So you just need to say which one feels closest to who you are. So it doesn't necessarily need to 100% align to who you are, but like it felt the closest to who
I'm
you are.
I'm definitely E.
The E of all of them?
Oh, E is all of them.
All of the above.
I just want to be different.
You're going to ruin the quiz and it will be not workable. And so at the end, we'll just do a bit of scoring and then we'll figure out what kind of mom you
are.
Okay,
so what do I track while I do this?
You just need to track A, B, C, or D each question.
Got it.
Okay?
Okay.
Are we all set?
I think so. I'm frightened.
So our first category is diapering. So A is elimination communication. Do you know what this is?
Oh, no.
I had to Google this extensively.
No, what is that?
So elimination communication is the practice of introducing your baby to a toilet or potty at a very early age, usually between birth and 4 months.
Oh, you know who does that?
Who?
Candy Burris from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. She puts her newborns on the potty.
Are you ready for something embarrassing about Larissa? She's obsessed with all of the housewives.
It's not embarrassing. I watch them all of them.
And she listens to podcasts about them and then goes to their shows.
I go to live taping of podcasts about housewives.
This is a real thing. She's not embarrassed.
I'm not.
There's not an ounce of embarrassment.
I'm not.
But anyway, so yes, this is a thing. Like, you can apparently potty train a newborn.
Okay.
So I'm guessing you're not A.
Not A.
Okay.
Let's keep going. Are you A?
I'm not A.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just checking.
All right. Number B. B is cloth diapering.
Okay.
C is organic diapers. So like Honest Company would fit in there.
Okay.
And D is store-bought diaper, either your favorite brand or whatever is on sale.
Okay. So this is what I will say. I am C.
Okay.
I've used a couple different brands of kind of a more natural diaper, and so I will make my answer C because that is what I use. My kids are now out of diapers.
Okay.
But, had I not had twins, I would have probably gone the cloth diaper route. There was a lot of things that were overwhelming for having two. And so that was one thing that I chose to let go.
Yeah.
So I would have, but it didn't. So I don't know should I mark C because that's in fact what I did?
I think that's your choice. You can pick your answer. That's the beauty of taking a quiz.
Okay, I'm gonna just say C because that is in fact what I went with in my particular situation.
And I am not surprisingly D here. I am store-bought all the way. I get my Amazon subscribe and save. My Pampers come directly to me.
I gave Allison the diaper speech about all the things that are in a average store-bought diaper.
She did.
Then Allison came to me one day and said, I apologize, but...
And I bought them anyway. And
I'm
you know
buying
what?
Buying whatever I want. And I said, you don't have to apologize
they
to
work.
Me. But just the fact that she felt like she needed to apologize felt like I got to her a little bit, even though she made a different choice.
But that's your whole thing. Yeah. As long as you're informed, totally. You can make whatever decision you want to make.
Totally.
Store-bought.
I have not shamed you since. Have I?
You haven't what?
I haven't shamed you since.
Not
about the diapers.
Not to my face. So I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
But I don't really know.
All right.
All right. So we've got a C and a D here.
Yep.
All right. So next is birth.
Ooh.
Okay. A is home birth.
Mm. Has anyone seen the Home Birth documentary by Ricky Lake?
No.
Don't watch it. It's terrifying.
Okay. Don't watch it while you're pregnant then. That'd be truly terrifying. All right. B, birth center or non-medicated.
Okay.
C, hospital, medicated.
Okay.
So that's like either or. So it's like you were like all in medicated or you mm-hmm. just knew you were in a hospital birth. And then D is like a scheduled C-section.
Okay. So
this is a tough one for you because twins.
I know. And so this is going to be another one again where so let me tell you, I'm going to go with C.
Okay.
I had a non-C-section birth at a hospital. And when you have twins too, so there are different spectrums of doctors. Yeah. My doctor was totally fine with having, trying to have a regular birth as long as my first baby was heads down. So the baby closest was heads down. But I had to deliver in the OR in the case that there's some cases where people deliver twins, they deliver one vaginally and one C-section. So you never know what will happen.
Okay.
So you have to deliver in the OR. Twins have their own complications. There was no thought in my mind about delivering in a birth center. And I'll honestly tell you primarily why. It's not that I don't trust birth centers. I think birth centers are amazing. When you stay in a hospital, you get your 2 days or 3 days if you have a C-section. In a birth center, you leave after a few hours.
Which is insane to
think. And so for me, I couldn't, like, maybe it would be different if I was having more kids and now I know what to expect of the birth process. Mm-hmm. I might reconsider something different. But being my first baby, having twins on top of that, birth center was never in my realm of
not
possibility. But I know a lot of people that have had a birth center birth and loved it. So my answer would be C, but just want to give those caveats.
But that's, see? Those caveats are helpful.
Yeah, because everybody's situation is different.
So for me, I am C for that one, hospital medicated. And it's interesting because I went into birth without any expectations, right? I did the classes. I knew the breathing exercises so that if I wanted to non-medicated, I could do it.
Yep.
But I was induced and mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting to be induced.
Yep.
And I don't know if for anybody that's had an induction, it is crazy intense.
And none of it's
so,
a good time.
None of it. So I did end up doing a medicated birth and God, it was so necessary.
I applaud anybody. I tried to have a medicated birth actually and my epidural didn't work.
That is insane.
So if you're
pregnant and listen to this, don't worry. They work a lot.
No. Let me say this. Like, sometimes they don't work. I do have other friends who've even had a single birth where they don't work. But let me tell you something. You do it anyway. You do it. You're kind of amazed by what your body can do.
Your body just figures it out.
Yep. So good on you. I tried. Didn't work. But that's fine. Geez. That's fine.
I had an epidural and oh my dear Lord. Thank you.
Stop rubbing it in. Move on.
What did you say?
Stop rubbing it in.
All right. So the next two questions, you can answer one or the other.
Okay.
One is breastfeeding and one is formula.
Okay. Perfect.
So it's not that being a crunchy, I guess this is, again, our perspective, but being a crunchy mom doesn't necessarily mean that you breastfeed because you can be a super crunchy mom and not be able to.
Totally.
Or you can be a super crunchy dad and obviously you can't. Or, you know, a same-sex couple that's adopting or anybody.
Really good examples. Yeah.
It's either.
Okay.
So we're going to start with breastfeeding because we both did. A is thinking about weaning my 4-year-old.
Ooh.
Hmm. Is that you? Hmm. B, breastfed beyond 1 year.
Okay.
C, stuck with the doctor recommended 1 year.
Okay.
Or D, 6 months max.
Okay. So mine was, we went 15 months. I think I mentioned that in a previous episode. So I am B.
No, oh, so the twins aren't still nursing?
No.
No.
That's weird.
So I...
If you're still nursing and your kids are four, just pretend I didn't say that.
See, non-judgmental. Unless you just heard what Larissa said. So I am currently at 10 months, going on 11 months. I don't have a goal in mind. And so that's, I'm between B and C.
I think that's the best way to do it. I honestly didn't like when people asked me all the time, how long are you going to do that? How long are you going to do that? And I don't know.
No.
So until they want to stop, until I want to stop. And then exactly. I like found that time. So
just figure it out.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go with B, probably beyond 1 year, because I mean,
that's we're just coming, where you think you'll fall.
Yeah. We're coming up on that soon. Do I think that like 1 year I'm going to be like, no more for you?
Yeah. It's weird to have those like hard lines.
Yeah.
It's a strange timeline to have.
All right. There we go.
Okay.
All right, so the next one are for formula moms, so we're going to skip these, but I will read them out loud. So for formula feeding, A is made my own formula.
Mm-hmm.
B is all organic all the time.
Mm-hmm.
C is sometimes organic, sometimes not. And D is I use what I get coupons for.
Ooh. I want to add to this,
okay.
Even though my kids were breastfed. While in the hospital... So I talked about, I think, in a previous episode about my challenges with starting to nurse. In the very beginning, I supplemented with formula until I got my milk up because I had the two. So I think it was maybe for the first 2 weeks, I had the help of formula.
Okay.
While I was like building up my milk supply and all of that. So even for me, who I feel like is, you know, I try so hard to kind of like do things in the most natural way as possible. You do what you need to do. And my priority in that moment was to feed my kids however they needed fed. So I just want to throw that in there that in general, I consider my kids breastfed kids. But in the beginning, I needed the help and I took it.
Yeah.
So
actually, I was listening to, I want to say it was the Home Hour when they were talking about the green episode.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about how they considered their kid breastfed if you would supplement with formula. That's still a breastfed kid, right? Because they got the breast milk. They got the value of the breast milk, even if every other bottle was
a
bottle of formula.
I just always feel like, too, and I feel like we're going to find this with this quiz, is that you don't have to be in some box.
Yes, exactly. But we'll find out which box.
So I want to throw that in there.
I like that.
Ain't no shame in formula when you need it.
No shame in that game. So the next one is sleeping.
Okay.
A is co-sleeping.
Oh.
B, bassinet right next to me for 6 months minimum. C, crib in the nursery.
Okay.
And D is wherever they fell asleep.
Okay. Okay. So right. I am C. My kids slept in our room in a pack and play until they were 3 weeks old. And that was the point in which my husband had to go back to work. I was after 3 weeks. And then they went in their own individual cribs in their room because I was, like I've talked about it, like nursing and pumping and all this kind of stuff. And he needed to go back to work. And so I did my best to kind of let him sleep a little bit. So at the point of 3 weeks, they went in their own rooms and I would just come in there and rooms were nearby. I had monitors, but that was what I thought was healthy for us.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell you the number of times I like woke up in the middle of the night and had like a panic that I thought there was a baby in the crib. I mean, you're so sleep deprived.
Yes.
I thought, or not in the crib, a baby in our bed. And I was like, just looking around everywhere for a baby. And then had that like calming moment where I was like, they are in a crib. They are safe. I did not smother them.
Yes. I've had that freak out where I was holding her and I had like kind of fallen asleep, but not really. And I woke up in a panic and I was like, oh my God, Kyle, where is Claire? Where is Claire? you're holding her.
Yeah.
Because you're just so tired.
Totally. And I will say though, like in defense of the co-sleeping, you know, to each their own, there are safe ways to do it. Mm-hmm. There's like things you can put in your bed and again, to each their own. But that's what I felt was best for us.
Nice. So I'm B actually in this one. We had one of those bassinets that swiveled over the bed.
Oh, like over the bed.
Yep.
So she was right next to your bed.
Right.
And you could kind of bring her in.
Right. Okay. And so you can pull it down, just pull her onto the bed to nurse. And she was in that for 6 months. And I remember the transition from the bassinet to the crib was a big one for mm-hmm. me. She was fine.
Okay.
That's sort of, I figured out with pretty much every transition is it's always more difficult on the parents because you're worried about what it's going to look like. And Claire's just, she goes with the flow. She's fine.
You know what's funny? I think we're like halfway into this quiz and I see myself like a little bit like leaning towards questions that I think are not the crunchy way.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Okay.
See, that's why I thought it'd be fun.
Let's keep it going.
All right. So next is cleaning. This is probably where you're going to get crunchier. So A is I make all of my own cleansers with essential oils.
Ooh.
B is I use organic, non-toxic products and reusable cloths.
Mm-hmm.
C, I use a mix of things and try to reduce my use of paper towels, but it's not really important to me.
Okay.
And D is bleach all of the things.
So much bleach. Okay, do you want to go first on this one or do you want me to go?
I can start. So I am definitely...
Are you bleaching all of the things?
No, I was.
Look me in the eye. Are you bleaching all of the things?
Well, you know my favorite smell in the whole world is chlorine.
You're disgusting.
I love it. It smells delicious. But... So I am
chlorine
probably,
like a pool or like Clorox like cleaning things.
No, like chlorine like a pool. So like I have cleaning products that have chlorine in them. Chlorine bleach. That's a thing.
Oh my God.
She's looking at me like I'm crazy. That is a thing. And it smells delicious. It smells clean. It's just fresh.
Yeah. It smells like poison in your house. It
smells so good.
Okay.
Anyway, I obviously stopped using bleach with all of Claire's skin issues, but I would say I'm still C.
Okay.
Because I have these fantastic, like those Norwex cloths,
mm-hmm.
And I love them, but I still reach for paper towels every once in a while. Hey. Like if it's a messy mess, I don't want to use something reusable and it's the worst. I have to get over it. But like my cleaning products are all safe.
Okay.
So that's why I'm like, I'm saying
C. And that's something sort of
like
newish for you, right? The cleaner cleaning products?
That's all new. Because it used to be, like I'm saying, chlorine bleach is my favorite smell. And my house smelled like it all the
time.
But
for you, because of Claire's allergies, right, you started thinking about, like, what outside irritants there were, even broader than just what she was eating.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. I did.
So I think I fall into B, which is kind of using more organic products and the cloths. We still have paper towels in our house. Our cleaning lady doesn't understand Norwex, and I don't think she wants to.
Yes.
So when she comes, we let her do her thing. And like I still have them in the house and I use them when needed or whatever. But I do, all my cleaning products are non-toxic. I'm pretty strict about that. And I actually hate when I come in and she's been there and she's maybe used something that's like outside of my, like I leave a whole like bag of things for her to mm-hmm. clean the house with. And then once in a while I come in and there's a clean smell and I like know what that means. It means Clorox or like whatever.
So
like
when your house smells clean, you don't like
it. No, I don't like the smells because I know what the smells mean. And it's not always. It'll be like I've run out of something. So she's dipped into her own stash of stuff. So I guess I'm like a teeter between a B and C, but I'm more of a B. So I'm going to go with B.
Okay. Funny little anecdote, because when we were looking for a cleaning lady, I let Kyle do this, like figure out who the cleaning lady was. Cause I was, I don't know, sleep rattled with the baby. and he found me a green, clean cleaning lady. Mm-hmm. And she's amazing. And it still smells like everything she uses smells amazing, but it doesn't smell like chlorinated bleach, which is my favorite. So, but
your life is
fantastic.
So hard.
I want my bleach back. My bleach back.
There you go. You got it.
All right. Beauty products.
Oh, my favorite.
All right. A, does coconut oil count? That's A.
Oh, that's A. Okay. Yes. Okay.
So you might be A.
Yes.
B, I use organic and non-toxic products exclusively.
Okay.
C, I swap out for safer products here and there, but I like what I like. And D, I have a Sephora credit card and not give a crap what is in those spectacular products.
I mean, I have to say, in Sephora's defense and support. They carry a lot of those really nice green clean stuff.
They do.
They carry poison also, but they also have some of your favorite green and clean things. Okay, I don't know how to answer this one because I do use coconut oil. Like, it is my job. And a lot of the products that I use have a main ingredient of coconut oil. So I have, like, my homemade things of coconut oil and I have my products full of coconut oil. But mostly I use products that are green and clean. So I'm like a teeter between an A and a B.
I can see it.
Ooh.
You also make your own products. So I feel like that tips you a little bit more to A.
All right, I'll go with A, but I'll go with A.
Okay.
Because the coconut oil is everywhere.
Well, you have this giant tub of it.
I do.
Gallons and gallons of coconut oil.
I literally bought a gallon of coconut oil. It was on sale, and it was really good.
How much have you gone through?
Not a ton, because I make like a coconut oil lotion, and I use it for my skin, and I use it to take my makeup off. I use it for lots of things, but, you know, it lasts a really long time.
I'm impressed.
Cook with it.
I do love cooking with coconut oil. It's delicious.
Don't you make fun of my gallon.
It's just funny. I mean, I don't have anywhere to put it. Massive.
I have a picture, by the way, of me holding it next to my head. Maybe I'll post that.
You should put it in the show notes because that is really funny. Okay, so for me, I'm between a C and a D again, because I actually, if we're talking beauty products, let's just be honest. I like what I like.
Yes, Allison will not stray from her very mainstream products. And I think the difference between us is you do care about, like, you're a makeup girl. Like, you like makeup. You like makeup tutorials. Like, you like makeup. For me, I'm a pretty simple kind of girl. I do wear makeup every day, but I don't really know how to apply it well, I guess. I mean, hopefully I don't look like a hot mess. But for me, I think I'm more of like a skincare girl than a makeup girl. And I sort of lean more towards what's good for me versus like what makes me look like I'm airbrushed.
See, I love, there's specific formulations of makeup that I like.
Yeah.
And I love learning it. Like you said, I love learning how to apply it. I love playing with makeup. And so.
Did you know skin is your largest organ and what you put on it matters?
Hey, I asked you about my skincare products and you said most of them are toxic. But just checking. Some of them I've swapped out.
Quick little reminder.
I know. I love makeup. So I'm going to go D here.
Okay.
Sorry. If it looks good and I like it, I'm going to use it.
That's fine. Be vain.
I'm sorry. All right. Eats.
Okay.
All right. A, I'm a vegan. And who eats primarily what I grow myself?
Okay.
B, I try to limit my animal proteins and buy organic, non-GMO almost exclusively. C, I will buy organic when it's on sale, but it's not a huge priority.
Okay.
Or D, I don't believe in organic.
Oh, God.
The pesticides make it look more delicious.
Okay, but...
Oh, and this is a total call out to, I think it was Kristen on the Home Hour, who was like, they look so much better when they're not organic.
Well, in truth, the hormones, the pesticides, well, not
That's
even the pesticides, but like,
do.
They're intended to make it bigger and... Yes, correct. They look shinier, prettier, more color of the color they're supposed to be.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So where do you fall?
So I am B, because I'm not following a strict vegan diet anymore. I am trying to eat, I would say, 70 to 80% plant-based. But when I do eat any kind of protein, so I'm not really eating meat, but when I do eat fish... Like, I know where my fish is coming from. Mm-hmm. My fish is wild caught. It's not farm raised. Like, so I fall in B. Like, I know where my food's coming from and I'm limiting it.
Okay. I also think that I fall in B. So we don't cook with meat a couple nights a week. You know, often I'll eat meals that don't have animal proteins in them. Obviously, I don't eat dairy at all. Mm-hmm. And then we exclusively buy organic, non-GMO, no antibiotics, especially for things that Claire eats. So,
and if anybody's interested, by the way, kind of the diet I follow versus the diet Allison follows, kind of due to Claire's allergies really in the moment, and where you will fall with that once you're done nursing is probably a different story and something you have to figure out. But if anybody's interested in that, definitely check out our first episode, because we talk about kind of what restrictions we have and why we have them.
Good plug. All right, so the next one is recycling. So, A, I rarely use products that can't be recycled or create any waste and have a compost pile. B, I use reusable coffee and water cups and recycle everything I can. C, I recycle at home for sure, but it's hard to remember my usable grocery bags and cups, so sometimes I don't.
Okay.
And D is, we have a recycle bin.
Okay. So I find myself falling into lots of these, but I'm going to go with A and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So we definitely have reusable grocery bags that we use like it's our job. I think I'm not super mindful about the things that I buy and whether or not they're recyclable, but I think because of the companies I buy from, they kind of usually lump the kind of better for you with the better for you for the environment. And so they are kind of inherently recyclable and we do recycle in the house. And then we haven't done it at this house, but in our last house, we actually built our own compost
bin. Oh, nice.
So Bill built it like very, very DIY. He got like one of those really large Rubbermaid containers. He bought some worms on Amazon.
You can buy worms on Amazon?
Totally.
You can buy anything on Amazon.
And we literally like just created this thing in a bin. And because right now we live in a single family home, we used to live in a townhouse and we just kept this compost bin underneath our deck and it was awesome. So I'm going to go with A because I think that is kind of like the place I've been and the place I'd like to get back to.
Okay.
We've focused on some different things in the house. Like, you know, this is a newer house, so we've like building up our garden and things like that. And I think we'll get back to composting and maybe we'll get something bigger than what we've made before. So I'm going to go with A.
Okay. I am actually going to go with B. Mostly I'm as good at recycling as I am is because my husband is really good at recycling. So he makes sure that he separates everything. He's really mindful of it. If he sees something in the trash that shouldn't be, he'll move it over. He has no qualms about reaching in there. So he makes me better at recycling, but I use reusable wherever possible.
Okay.
It is tough to remember to bring those things with you. And so a recent trick I've developed is putting it in the trunk of my car.
Yep. Or have a couple of them, one that stays in the car, one that's at home. So you can go. And note that Allison put plastic straws in our drink, which she'll have to throw away.
I will. Can I recycle them?
I'm not sure.
I bet you can.
But you know what you could do? You could get stainless steel straws.
Okay.
Or you could get silicone straws.
Stainless steel, you can like crack your teeth. And I always feel like they don't come clean.
They don't come clean or like you can't clean them after you use them?
You can't clean them.
Well, you need like a special brush.
I have one. I bought the Zoli one. But right. I'm still weird about it.
We'll talk about this.
She'll get me there, I'm sure.
Tell you that
undoubtedly.
She put these things in my drink. These plastic things.
Doing the best I can, Larissa. So judgy. All right. The next section is health.
Okay.
But specifically, what do you do when you're sick?
Okay.
So A is I diffuse essential oils. Mm-hmm. B is...
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing already? Why are you looking at me and laughing?
I don't know. B is I'll try all holistic medicine remedies, breast milk, I can before resorting to going to the doctor.
Okay.
C, I am not going to pop a pill for any old thing, but over-the-counter medicine can be a lifesaver. Mm-hmm. And D is sniffle, sniffle, call 911. All right, so, where do you fall?
This is difficult because I feel like I'm a little bit of all three. I definitely have essential oils and I use them. I diffuse them. I do lots of things with them. I definitely will try alternative medicine or like home remedies that I know before going to the doctor. But I also know that medicine has its place and I will take my kids or myself to the doctor when needed. But I'm assuming these are in some order of things. So I think that the diffusing essential oils is like the top of it all. Mm-hmm. And so if I do all the things below, I'm going to go with A.
A, okay. So for me, interesting. So I'm probably, again, I feel like I'm always between these. And I came up with these, so you'd think I'd make one of them that I fit soundly in, but I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't do that. I'm definitely going to try and fix something in a natural way first. I'm a big believer in nutrition as medicine. I'm a big believer in like doing things like trying breast milk, seeing if that works, or
in some cases,
not in the eyes and ears or anything like that. You know, hopping in a shower and trying to get rid of a cold, those types of things. I'm definitely a big believer in those, and even things like Jinshin Do and like meditation. I think that there's curative properties to all those things. But I am still relatively quick to like pop a Tylenol for a fever. Okay. And, you know, if I'm feeling awful and I have to go to work or just be a mom and I've got a cold, I'm probably going to take a DayQuil.
Okay.
So that's why I'm like feeling kind of in the middle of those, but I'm probably going to say I'm C. I'm not going to pop a pill for any old thing, but over the counter medicine has its place.
Fair.
So that's me. All right. The next section is fitness.
Oh.
This is where we both fail. This is where we discover how uncrunchy we are.
Oh.
All right. So A is I practice yoga and mindful meditation every day.
I want to.
I know, me too. I mean, there's no time. I say that. You make time. I'm making excuses.
We need to talk about that one more.
Yes, we do. All right. B, I make time for fitness and especially yoga. It's very important to me. C, I dabble in different fitness programs here and there. Or D, shopping is my cardio.
I'm none of those because I want to do all those things and I don't have time to shop anymore. And quite frankly, since I became a mom, I hate it because I feel like I go into the store and I'm like sweating trying to get out because I know the kids are at home and my poor husband. I'm none of those. Wait, what was C again?
I dabble in different fitness programs here and
there. Okay. I attempt to dabble in something once every 3 months, so I'm going to go with C.
Okay, that's where I am too. Because I will get really into a yoga program, and then I'll be like going to a spin class regularly or like doing P90X, and they last for like a month, and then I'm done. Well,
because it's so hard to get into a routine, and then as soon as you do, especially given the type of work that we do where the work ebbs and flows, as soon as you get out of your routine, you got to start getting into it again. That's the worst part. It's the hardest part. All right, so all right. C for both of us.
All right, the final category is transportation. I feel like I could not put transportation on here because I feel like there's some crunchy things about how you use your car and use energy in that way. So the first one is I ride my bike everywhere I can, but if I must, I drive a car that runs on vegetable oil.
Okay. Okay.
So that's you?
No.
B, public trans wherever possible.
Okay.
C, hybrids for life. Or D, I love my car.
I guess D, because we have an SUV. I have a good on gas mileage SUV, but that means nothing because that doesn't mean it's good for the environment. It just means I'm using less gas, which I could sort of mean better for the environment. But I have like 100 kids. Okay, I have two. But I need it. And I don't have time to source vegetable oil for my hippie van. So
that's D. Next on the priority list.
D.
All right. So that's it for the questions. So now for scoring.
Okay, how do I do this?
So for scoring, here's what it is. For every A, you get 3 points.
Okay.
For every B, you get 2 points. C is 1 point, and D's are 0 points.
Okay.
Okay. All tallied?
All tallied.
Okay. Why don't I go first?
Okay, go
for it. And then I'll switch over to you. So
what are the scales?
Here's the scale. So from 0 to 12 points is a silky mom.
Okay.
13 to 24 points is a scrunchy mom.
Mm-hmm.
And 25 to 36 is a crunchy mom. Awesome. Okay. So I'm 12 points. Okay. I'm at like the very end of the Silky Mom.
Okay.
Which is interesting. But I thought but I would have like pretty, edged more towards Scrunchy. On.
I would see you as like silky leaning Scrunchy because you started off super silky.
Oh yeah, I was zero. I was
then
like,
I forced you into lots of things.
And then
and now you're like tipping the scales on what you change.
I could see that.
Okay.
And we'll tell, so we'll go through what our results say, and then we're going to take a step back and say, like, how do you think you identify?
Okay. So I tallied at 19.
You're smack dab in the middle of Scrunchy.
Okay. So the high end of Scrunchy was what?
24. 24?
Okay. But I could see that because there's certain things that, again, like I don't think I'm a full-on crunchy mom. There's definitely conveniences I take advantage of. There's definitely things that I wish I could do, but I don't because I have two kids and I had to make it work because I'm a full-time mom and or full-time working mom. So, okay.
So here's where I'm coming from with this. I definitely had a lot of fun with this quiz. Like, some of the answers were really silly, and I did put them at the very extremes, right?
Sure.
So I would say, from my perspective, is that I do feel more like a scrunchy mom because I'm making decisions. If I'm looking at, like, sort of the spectrum of moms and the decisions that you make, I'm definitely making decisions that are edging more towards the organic and the natural.
Sure.
I'm just definitely a believer in medicines and the expertise of doctors and common conveniences and, you know, all the things that make life easier, especially
and
as a
balance.
Working mom. Yeah.
And balance.
Yes.
I think that's a big one.
For sure.
Balance and moderation.
Yeah.
And I think that drives a lot of what I do, too. I think I'm much heavier leaning on, like, what could I make myself? What could I do at home? But I do still believe that medicine has its place. And I do think that when you need it, you take advantage of it. But I also know the number for my local natural pharmacy and will sometimes call the natural pharmacist before I call a doctor.
So what do you call a natural pharmacist for?
Everybody has a natural pharmacy near them. And so if you haven't found one near you, look it up. I guarantee you have a natural pharmacy near you. They're a certified pharmacist like any other, but they can kind of tell you more about more homeopathic options.
Oh.
And they can actually, some of the natural pharmacies are apothecaries, which means they can actually mix something for you. And some of those mixes are actually only available through a prescription by your doctor. So you could call them, you can talk to them about, like, I have XYZ. They could tell you something over the counter within the natural pharmacy that you could try, something homeopathic. Or they could tell you there is XYZ that we could mix for you, but you need a prescription. So you could go to the doctor and tell them you'd like to try this or talk to them about it.
That's
and they
so
will
cool.
actually give you a prescription to get something filled at your local natural pharmacy / apothecary.
How do you find that? I'm assuming that all of those things wouldn't be covered under insurance. Is that a correct assumption?
You know what? I don't know. I think they do because they're considered a regular pharmacist. Hmm. I don't think I've ever quite paid attention.
So how have you found it from a cost perspective? Do you think it would be
on par? Hmm. Because most homeopathic medicines are I would say like $5 to $15, like any. I don't know, maybe copay is or something like that for a prescription. So I don't even know how we
spun
into this.
Total sidebar.
But it's such a good resource. And we should definitely talk more about this like on a future episode because I think the natural pharmacy is like such a cool place. Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about at the end of that, we were talking about budgets. Being a crunchy mom or choosing to make organic decisions on a budget, because everybody always says it's more expensive, it's harder to shop that way. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that
for
in a later
sure.
episode.
I think that's a big one. And knowing how to navigate that to mm-hmm. kind of, if you can't go all in, what are the things that are important to go in on if that is something that's really important for you?
I like that a lot. So you do agree with your results as a scrunchy mom?
I think so. I think that like you're silky leaning scrunchy and I am scrunchy leaning crunchy, which is like super fun to say. And I think that I think I kind of, that makes sense to me because I don't ever want to put myself in a box. And I don't think everybody ever falls squarely into a box.
Yes.
I think that like the silky mom and the full crunchy mom are extremes and they certainly exist. And that's all good and fine. But I think the average person tailors these pieces based on their own environment, their mm-hmm. family life, what they believe in, what their circumstances. Like, you know, some people have totally healthy kids and some people don't. And some people are totally healthy themselves and some people are not. Your financial, situation can be different. So I think that makes sense that most people would fall kind of somewhere on the scale, and most people are not one or the other extreme.
Yeah, and I feel like some people might see it as a barrier to entry to the green lifestyle, feeling like they have to go all in, be 100% crunchy if they're going to be heading in that direction. But that's not the case. It's you figure out the things that are important to you. You figure out the things that make a big difference in your life and you make those small changes.
Yeah, and
just
I think
little things over the course of time.
I think that's one of the reasons that I have really loved doing my blog and I've really loved starting this podcast is because I want to give people those tidbits and I want people to take from it what makes sense for them, even if they make little changes, even if they make one change and don't make the 50 others. Every little bit helps, every little bit makes a difference, and you just do what's right for you. Like you just pick out from it what makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's different for everyone. So I love this. This was really fun.
Oh,
and I think
God,
it's kind of like fun to see where you fall and fun to think about each of these categories and what you do in each of these categories. And I definitely found myself in lots of these questions feeling like I did like all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Or like what I would want to do versus what my situation allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So this was really fun. But
Maybe future guests, we have them take this quiz before they come
on. I think that'd be
on.
Fun.
We can talk through it. It'd be fun. So actually, this quiz will be in the show notes. So we're just going to do it free form. You can take it. Have your friends take it. It's kind of fun.
And at crunchycocktailhour.com, you'll find all the show notes and any links we mentioned, as well as this quiz.
Yeah. So if you like what you hear, please hit subscribe. And we'd love it if you'd leave us a review. It's really helpful to us as we're getting the podcast off the ground to see what people think. And just from an iTunes perspective, it's
and
always
let me,
great.
And let us know your scores on the show notes. Comment on the show notes and let us know your scores because we'd love to hear kind of who the listeners are and where you fall on the scale. And this might be really fun to do, Allison, especially for you, for us to retake this quiz. Some like with some time passing.
That's a great
idea.
And see
idea. If I forced you into any other changes.
Or see if I forced you the other direction.
Possibly not going to happen, but possibly.
All of a sudden you're not recycling.
But it might be cool to see, like, for you and I, where we fall and what additional changes I might make or what changes you make. But for anybody listening as well, like, where do you fall on the scale now? And maybe there's some changes that you implement as a result of listening to this. And then so maybe you take it at some other point in time. That'd
See,
be cool.
I did.
So let us know how you fared in the quiz.
And you can find us on all the social medias.
All of them.
Crunchy We're Cocktail everywhere. Hour. And so we'll post a couple of pictures, especially of the cocktail. And then, of course, you can find the cocktail recipe at silverlinedandwine.com, my blog, and on Pinterest. And we've got a new episode coming out next Friday. So hit subscribe and it'll automatically download for you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.